Rock me like a hurricane. By the way, at 5 o'clock tonight, or just after 5 o'clock, no guarantee when we take that break, so I'm not going to lie to you. We will get into the Kyle Tucker thing and the Mets and the Yankees. So a little baseball coming up a little bit later on. All right, okay. give it a taste. I just don't know how you don't focus most of the show
on football.
Mike Tomlin, of course, has stepped down. He does not appear to be coaching this year. Even though I think it muddies the waters, Chris, to bring up the reality that if he does decide to coach again, you're going to have to do a deal with the Steelers and give him a draft pick. Mm-hmm. To me, whatever that deal is, you do it.
I agree.
Because that gets you a great coach.
I agree.
But that's a year away from right now, apparently. So I think you'll probably see him on some TV shows here and there. You'll get his feet wet, see if he's any good at it. Kind of like Belichick did. He was good at it, by the way.
It wasn't bad.
So see what Tomlin brings to the table in that regard. And then a year from now, all the teams like the New York Jets that think they found their quarterback, because the Jets clearly think they're going to get a quarterback in this draft. They obviously have to.
Right.
Picking number two. Don't know who that guy is yet. I don't think it's Dante Moore after what we saw him do against Indiana. But that being said, you know, are you patient enough to suck up another year of bad football to then get Mike Tomlin? Now, the answer to that is, in the moment, no. But a year from today, you bet your ass we do everything we can to get a Mike Tomlin.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where we're at.
That's where we are.
Atlanta seems like it's a threat for some of these jobs. Mm-hmm. I don't think Harbaugh. Tennessee seems like it's a real threat to get one of the bigger name coaches. Again, I don't think that's Harbaugh. I think at this stage, and I'm just inferring based on what everyone has told us thus far, it seems like it is the Giants' race to lose.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think so.
So I think that's where
and
we're at.
And I don't know if you saw this, but Ian O'Connor of...
Ian O'Connor?
Yeah, he is reporting.
What does he do?
He covers, I think, for The Athletic. I don't know if it's just Giants or...
I thought he was a newspaper writer for New York.
He was for the New York Times.
At The Athletic?
Now he's with The Athletic.
He's good at what he
thing.
Does.
Yeah. He's very good at what he does. Yeah. And he's been on this, especially he's connected to the Giants' ownership.
Go ahead.
He's reporting that John Mara also spoke...
That's interesting.
To John Harbaugh.
Who
and
else?
Eli Manning.
Oh, huh.
And Brian Daboll.
Oh, is that right?
Brian Daboll.
Is that right? So
Brian Daboll.
Just so I have this right.
It's a class act, right?
If I may. Brian was a class guy.
Class guy. Class,
just so
class,
I have this
class.
Right.
Class, class, class.
At 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. when I was viciously attacked by people, both on our show and online, for suggesting that you have to take me at my word.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants had people other than Tom Coughlin reach out to John Harbaugh, much like the Knicks did back in the day with LeBron, and I was viciously attacked, had my character assailed. Now that Ian O'Connor tells you what I told you 2 hours and 40 minutes ago, now we believe that it happened.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, just
that's correct. you got me on that one.
Okay.
Other than you were throwing out, you know, and not to disparage any of these guys, because I respect and love them all.
Yeah.
But Victor Cruz, Plaxico Burress, Amani Toomer, there is specific reasons.
I was joking about Amani.
I understand.
I was making
that.
A point.
I understand.
With Amani.
You were making a point, but I'm saying, and I love him too.
Yes.
Specific reasons. Obviously, the Mara family goes without saying why you would have them communicating with them. Eli Manning. He's Eli Manning.
Yeah. Maybe Brian a Hall of Famer one day.
Brian Daboll's specific. What did we say? What did our guy Jordan tell us is going to be the number one defining characteristic of a team that John Harbaugh is going to want to take over?
Go ahead.
The quarterback.
Right.
Brian Daboll, I would think, specifically, and Ian O'Connor says it, among the voices who called John Harbaugh to give him a strong recommendation on Jackson Dart and the Giants. Brian Daboll is designed to call him and tell him what kind of quarterback Jackson Dart.
Let me say this.
Yes.
That is not just class. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Class.
Awesome.
Yep.
That Brian Daboll, and it shows you that, look, he didn't work out here. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but that's the reality. But he didn't.
It came
but
to that.
Brian Daboll is nothing but a football guy. And he loves Jackson Dart. You saw that after the first game Dart played with the headbutt to each other.
Yep.
Damn near want to French kiss him, it looked like, right? So the reality is that that's a guy that wants the best for Jackson Dart because, to be fair to Brian Daboll, while it didn't work out here, he's always going to be connected to Jackson Dart.
Sure.
Like, if Jackson Dart has this great 15-year career and he wins a Super Bowl and has, you know, whatever, you know, 4,000-yard seasons and is the man, we'll always be able to tell the story that he was the guy Dable wanted.
Yep.
So they're always connected because of that.
100%.
So I give Dable a lot of credit for putting his ego aside.
Yeah.
And the fact that you got to be upset that I got fired and embarrassed by the New York Giants.
Hell yeah.
To then reach out to the guy the Giants want to essentially replace me because I want the best for the kid.
Yeah.
I have nothing but respect for Brian Dable.
Absolutely.
Great guy.
Not only, I mean.
Matter of fact, hey, unnamed producer.
Yeah.
Do me a solid. Get Brian Dable on the show.
He deserves it. Because I'll be honest with you. We could say whatever he wants about a head coach. He was scapegoated by the Giants. Let's be the reason they figured they lost. The reason they lost those games. The reason they blew those leads was Brian Dable. They kept the GM. They told you the GM is doing a fantastic
job.
You
don't fire the GM when you collapse in the fourth quarter.
But I'm just saying. The GM who has just as many losses, just as many mistakes in the draft.
Yeah.
He's built the young core. He's done a great job. He's leading the coaching search. Brian Dable got scapegoated as the reason the team was failing. Not only that, yeah, no, it's true. No,
I got to push back a little bit on that.
That's what happened. Scapegoat the reason he's failing.
I push back a little bit.
Not only that, was reckless. Like, the organization kind of allowed this conversation of reckless with the kid. The reason he was fired when he was fired is because Jackson Dart got the concussion.
Right.
And because Brian Dable had to save his ass by winning games, he was reckless with the quarterback and allowed him to, you know, called all these design runs and got him hurt. Mm-hmm. A bunch of, you know. He got a raw deal, in my estimation, from...
Fair enough.
I'm considering he was a tandem with this GM.
I'll not argue that.
Yeah.
I'll push back on one thing that you said, because it needs to be pushed back on.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. You don't blame the general manager...
I'm not saying you do.
...for a fourth quarter collapse. You don't.
No?
You don't blame the general manager for 5-6 one-score losses.
No?
You blame the coach.
Okay, I hear you. Do you blame the general manager...
Go ahead.
...when you lose your starting cornerback and Dante Banks has to come in... And he was your first pick that you traded up to go get, and he's incompetent and can't play the position.
Yes,
and that's part of the reason why Bo Nix was able to go up and down the field in the fourth quarter.
Yes,
does
I do.
Does the general manager get blamed for that?
Yes.
Okay. But when you lose your star wide receiver and you're desperate for wide receiver depth, and your third
can't blame
round
either
pick,
one of them for losing
and your
Malik
third
neighbors.
Round pick,
yeah,
your third round pick is a wide receiver who can't see the field.
Yes,
in Hyatt.
Yeah.
Do you blame the GM then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But I'm not.
Do you blame the GM when the third overall pick you just said had a disgusting, miserable first season?
Yes.
As a rookie?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering, do you blame the GM when you have an offensive line that doesn't function for the first 3 years with this GM when he whiffed on his first? Second draft pick, a top 10 pick on Evan Neal.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just wondering when you blame the GM. You're right, that specific moment in time, okay, maybe it's more on the coach than the GM. I'm not going to argue with you.
A 33-point fourth quarter is not on the GM.
It is when Dante Banks is the reason for it. When he's
the
lot of the reason for it.
The coach didn't have
to play him? He's the backup. He had nobody else to play. They started picking guys off the scrap heap to play instead of Banks.
Joe Shane deserves a lot of responsibility for the failures here.
All right.
But I don't think Brian Dable got scapegoated this year.
He was he got all the blame. The general manager's here hiring the next head coach.
And he's going to have no authority when he hires the next head coach.
That's a fair point.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds that way. Well, I mean, they didn't know it was going to be John Harbaugh.
No, that's true. That's true, too. That is true. Here's Matt in Brick, New Jersey. On the fan. Big Matt, how you doing there, buddy?
Good stuff, guys. How are you today?
Great.
What's up, Matt?
Dude, there's a lot to take in on this show today. It's awesome.
Yeah.
First and foremost, Harbaugh's not going to go to the Giants because it's a dumpster fire. It's literally a gas.
Well, the idea is that he changes that.
Yeah, he
that's the idea.
He believes he is the fire blanket to any problem.
Yeah.
Right. So, with crap going anywhere, then you got, I don't know, do you have Scott Boras as your manager? Or whatever, Boras is your manager. The bad takes, we can't do this. The Giants are just a dump.
The Giants are not a dump. No, the Giants, you're right.
The Giants have been
a dumpster fire for the better part of the last decade.
Yeah.
Sans the one playoff win against the Minnesota Vikings. That's factual. Yeah. Nobody can argue that. But the cupboard's not bare.
Right.
You have a quarterback that every one of you guys believes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now a great opportunity to bring in a successful, proven coach to take the clay that is here and to mold it into a beautiful vase.
But what is he talking about? It's not just me and you. Jordan came in here from Jordan to Diana Rossini to Adam Schefter and everybody in between has the Giants as the favorite to land the guy.
So just chill out.
Like the idea
he's
of some, it's some bad take and the Giants.
Don't get upset.
No, you got me all riled up.
Don't get upset. It's one caller.
I know, but it's not some ridiculous bad take.
The caller it is.
Well, it's, okay.
To you, it's not.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I know.
It's not going to change whether or not you get him, but you better get him on Thursday.
You better get him on Thursday.
Because Tennessee's calling.
I have to admit, right? I disagree with your premise that this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Until they lose him.
Oh, boy.
Because if they lose him.
I don't think they will.
If they lose him after they pulled out Brian Daboll and Eli Manning.
Like, I can tell you this.
Or the entire Mara family.
So I got here with Boom in 2007. All right? Mm-hmm. Came back in 20 with Evan. Yep. And now with you in 2026, yes. Right? I've never seen the New York Giants do this to get a head coach. 20 years. This is, and obviously Coughlin was here a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I've never seen the New York Giants act in this manner to woo a head coach to come here. Never. And for good reason.
Yeah.
But
that
now.
That speaks to part of the caller's point.
Yeah.
A little bit of a dumpster
so
fire.
So it's a bit of a dumpster fire. But I don't think it's a situation where they can't be a wild card team next year.
I totally agree.
I believe that. The Eagles are in flux. Obviously, they're still the best team in the division.
Yeah.
Washington, who knows what Jaden Daniels is coming back, you know, off the multiple injuries.
No Cliff
and
Kingsbury.
A new offensive coordinator there. Yeah. So you worry about that. The Dallas Cowboys are never going to be good, it seems like. Although Dak Prescott's statistics had a great year.
Yeah.
You don't worry about the Cowboys that much. I know the Cowboys have owned the Giants recently.
Yep.
But the reality is that there is no reason with really good coaching and getting the right draft pick or two or three and one or two free agent signings while the New York Giants are not a 10-win team. And a 10-win team gives you a chance to be a playoff team.
I think they are a 10-win team next year.
Great.
I think they are. If you get the coach, I think they are a 10-win team next year.
What do you think Kevin Stefanski's doing for the next 48 hours? And I say that because he knows that his main competition for the Giant job is in New Jersey with the Giants. Does he take a bath and lay low? Does he go to Tennessee and say, all right, Tennessee, what's your best offer?
Yeah.
Does he go to Miami? Does he just wait and see what happens first? Because like Jordan Schultz said, and you've said a few times as well, if everyone's waiting for Harbaugh to go first,
right.
The thing I disagree with Jordan on, I think it's dominoes after that. I think it's pop, 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 pop. I do not think it's a six-week thing where it takes that long to get those other jobs filled.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I was surprised he said that, but maybe it is. They want it drawn out, but I would think like they're going to all be interviewing all, like you mentioned Kevin Stefanski. He's going to know which job he prefers. Like the minute.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think, because that's what he's doing. Right? He's interviewing with every team.
I would take
I think he's the perceived second best candidate on the market
now. I guess part of me thinks the Dolphin job is a good job, but then I'm thinking about the talent on that roster, and I don't think it's a good job.
No, it's
and obviously the situation, you know, it's similar to Russell Wilson in Denver. Are you going to bite the bullet for a year and take an $90 million cap hit on Tua just to, you know, reset?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Denver Broncos did it and got lucky and got the right quarterback for them, Bo Nix. That's not the best way to do it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee just seems like a poop show. Like, do I really want to be in Tennessee with the Titans? I know a new stadium and all that, but
if you believe in Cam Ward, that's the question. Jordan said he looked like a top 10.
I do believe in Cam Ward. I like Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of the other jobs. Like, if I was a coach, where would I want to go? Man, South Beach is alluring.
Yeah.
Atlanta's not. Atlanta's a dump. Atlanta's not even a good professional sports town. It's a college football town.
Yeah.
It's not a Falcons town, so great strip clubs with wings, sure. That's what Patrick Ewing told me.
And they got some talent. Their defense at the
Got
the best running back in football, arguably. He's that good. The tight end really started to emerge this year by the last couple weeks. They've got some talent.
I don't want to go to Pittsburgh. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to Pittsburgh.
So I'm trying to like, if I'm the top candidate right now, or one of the top two.
I think it's the Giant job.
And I love New Jersey. New Jersey gets a bad rap. New Jersey's a gorgeous state. Just don't go to Newark and you're fine, or Camden for that matter, or Elizabeth.
I mean, if you believe in Mendoza, you go to Vegas. Vegas and Mendoza. That's
to Vegas, but
no,
yeah.
You can't go to Vegas.
Yeah, I'd have to say no to Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas is too much, you know, troubling temptation in Vegas.
Sure.
Like, I haven't gambled in 8 years,
right.
And I'm going to move to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, I was in rehab with a girl who actually moved to Vegas after rehab, gambling rehab. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you keep in touch.
Yeah, we do actually. She's in Texas now. Didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't. She recognized.
Recognized it and moved.
She was like, you know what? Craigie was right.
I would imagine that's a very difficult
that
place.
That is tough.
It's tough.
Like, because how do you not gamble in Vegas?
You go to the supermarket. There are slots in the.
No joke.
No joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't go to Vegas.
No.
No. I don't want to go to Tennessee, to be honest. Although I've only been to Tennessee once
Nashville,
in my life.
I would love to go to Nashville. I've never been, but I would love to.
Because you like Chris Stapleton.
I do like Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a fun atmosphere.
Have you? You've never been there?
I've never been to Nashville.
Oh, you got to go.
Yeah.
But you got to go for the chicken sandwiches.
The hot chicken?
Yep. You know about it, right?
I've heard of it.
Famous.
Yeah. Famous hot
Famous for their hot chicken sandwiches.
Famous for their hot chicken.
And country music.
Right, of course.
That as well.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah.
The history of Nashville, Tennessee.
I would get the sense that if you went to any random live music place in Nashville, you're hearing a star. Don't you, when you think that, like you're hearing someone just, for whatever the reason is, hasn't been discovered yet or made it big yet, I would think live music venue in Nashville, you're getting wow.
I would go in there expecting that, but I bet you it's not that.
You don't think so?
How could it be?
I think it is, though.
How could it be?
Kind of feel like that's what it's all about.
You think all the country musicians just go to Nashville?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I guess.
And the songwriters? Like, if you were a great songwriter.
Yeah. Why?
In the 60s, you'd go to Detroit for Motown.
Yeah, but that's a different...
Right?
It's a different world.
Wouldn't you go to Nashville now?
Get
discovered as a songwriter?
No.
No?
What about Nashville?
Well, isn't that where country music lives?
Yeah, but do you think, like, just country music executives are just roaming the streets of Nashville unlike anywhere else?
I think so.
Okay.
Like, if you went to a random bar in New York, you're not getting great country music.
No, but...
Right. Nashville, I mean, you probably are. How do you think they all get discovered? Nashville. Open mic night.
If you say so.
Yeah, that's how Taylor Swift got discovered.
An open night in Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah, and then she wrote a song for like Loretta Lynn or something.
Okay. That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right at all, does it?
It does not.
Yeah, Hank Williams Jr. had her write a song for him. And he's like, you should sing this yourself.
Yeah,
it doesn't
make
sense for me to sing it.
No.
Yeah. Here's Ralphie, out of Bridge Crossing. Ralphie, what do you got, kiddo?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
First of all, the chemistry between you two are great. I love it.
Yeah.
Really quick. Nashville has to be in your bucket list. It has to be.
Yeah. For the chicken.
I spent 2.5 hours in the Johnny Cash Museum, and I still didn't see it all. It was just, it was a great city. But
let me ask you a question. When you go to the Johnny Cash Museum, is there proof that he killed a man in Reno or no?
No, there's not.
Damn it.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but nevertheless.
Well,
listen, I'm 70 years old. I've been a Jet fan for 60 years. Aaron Glenn is not going anywhere. So having said that, with the cap space that they have and the draft equity that they have, I mean, by default, they should put together a competitive roster where they could at least be 500 and then move on next
year. Okay, so let me interrupt you for one second. Let me ask you one clear question, because on merit, you're not wrong, except for one question. Who's my quarterback?
Well, obviously, it's not going to be Mendoza because the Raiders are going to...
Right.
I like the kid from LSU. They're going to get a quarterback in the draft, whether it's, you know, they're going to get somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to have to nurture the kid.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go through his growing pains.
Which I don't mind. I think fans can tolerate a tough rookie season if you see some glimpses that the kid can play.
Yeah.
Like, Jackson Dart wasn't perfect, obviously, this year.
No.
He showed that he could play. He showed that maybe he should have started, but, you know, you make a $30, $20, $40 million commitment to a veteran quarterback. That guy's always going to start in that scenario.
And Andrew Thomas wasn't healthy.
Yeah,
for the first
so you're missing
now
your best offensive lineman,
right?
You
want to make sure you protect the kid.
Yeah. So what's interesting, though, what he's saying is the thing I disagree with that he's saying, look, I thought Sauce Gardner was always overrated, to be honest. Obviously, Quinton Williams was the real deal. He wasn't having a great year, to be fair, but is a great defensive lineman and was for the Jets in the few years that he was here. I don't know that the New York Jets are just a couple pieces away. I don't feel that
They're
way.
Not.
Like, the New York Jets, if we're going to be honest about it, I know they celebrated the fact that all five offensive linemen started every game, and there's value to that, obviously,
right,
having health on the offensive line. And they did have a couple, you know, good picks. You know, young guys playing in the offensive line, so I'm okay with that. We have Garrett Wilson. No guarantee that Breece Hall is coming back. They haven't tagged him yet, and if they don't, he's gone for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest about it. We have, of the 22 starters on a football field, how many guys right now would you say on the New York Jets you feel really great about? Six? Seven?
Yeah.
Right?
Max.
Not more than that.
No.
So this is, yet again for the Jets, this is a full-on rebuild.
Yep.
Which is why you trade Quinn and Williams, which is why you trade
Sauce Gardner. Yeah.
And get three first-round picks and a two as well.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of wide receivers who have been able to get some separation. They can't catch a damn thing.
Yeah, like Michi can't hold on to a ball. Yeah. It gets open.
Yeah.
So maybe if you teach him how to catch a ball, like he's a valuable number three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep.
But they're going to try to do it the old-fashioned way. Build through the draft.
Yep.
You know, maybe acquire a couple free agents, but then you have to play that game. And I hate this game because I can't win it. The New York Jets, outside of overpaying for someone, is not a top destination for a free agent. Just not.
No.
So if you're a top 30 free agent this offseason, the last team you want to go to right now, outside of, again, being overpaid, the Jets.
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, money talks. It depends on, you know, guys
right.
still sign.
Outside of overpaying a guy.
I agree with you. It's not a destination many people go to. And what do you do with the quarterback? Because say you draft the quarterback, right? He said they could have enough pieces to be 500. You're going to draft one of these quarterbacks to be 500 with this Jet team next year?
I don't believe
so. And then
so.
Even if you are, no. like, I mean. I-